Welcome to the Free Cities Podcast. My name is Timothy Allen, and this is the official podcast of the Free Cities Foundation. Welcome to episode number 9 of the Free Cities Podcast. Now, I'm recording this introduction in my hotel room in Prague, where I have been interviewing people all week for future episodes of this podcast. This interview, however, will be the last one from our series of conversations recorded in Honduras, and it's a very informal chat with Zusel Ramos, who is the COO of Amity Age Academy, which is the Bitcoin educational organization residing in Prospera's newly inaugurated Bitcoin Center. Zusel is a wonderful young Honduran lady who ended up working her dream job in Prospera thanks to her interactions with the Students for Liberty organization. And in this conversation, we discuss the work of the Academy and some of the challenges she faces educating Hondurans about not only Bitcoin, but the idea of ZAs in general. ZAs are, of course, Honduras' zones of employment and economic development. Zusel is a wonderfully positive individual whose belief in both Bitcoin and Prospera was highly infectious to me, and I look forward to following the progress of the Academy closely. So it just leaves for me to say to you, please sit back, relax, and enjoy my chat with Zusel Ramos.
Okay. My name is Zusel Ramos. I am the COO of Amity Age Academy, the first Bitcoin education center in Honduras.
Fabulous. Now, I have to say, because we're sitting in, how do you say it? It's just the Bitcoin Center, right?
Yeah. Our name is Amity Age Academy.
Why is it called Amity Age?
Well, this is a character that our CEO, Dusan, created. And it's supposed to be the granddaughter of Satoshi Nakamoto, who would know more about this than her, right?
Right, okay. I'll describe it now because we're sitting in here now. We're kind of perched up on a hill in a room with a sort of 280-degree view of the sea in all directions, and floor-to-ceiling windows all the way around. And you can probably hear the echo. It's very church-like, cathedral-like in here. It's gorgeous. I've been to a few Bitcoin centers around the world, but this one's pretty good. It's up there with, I think, Bitcoin Park in Nashville, which has a completely different vibe, but it's very impressive. So what's the story behind the Bitcoin Center here in Roatan?
Well, Dusan, he is the creator of the Bitcoin Center, Amity Age Academy. He came for a Prospera Summit in April this year, actually. And he fell in love with Prospera, what he could do here. And he has always had this vision that he wanted to educate people in Bitcoin, and he wanted to educate 100 million people in Bitcoin by 2030. So he wanted to start here in Roatan because he fell in love with the island and the idea of Prospera Sede. So Eric, that is the CEO of Prospera, he showed him this building, and he told me that he just had to see the view so he can convince that this is the place that he would open the Bitcoin Center.
What was it before then, out of interest?
Well, he was in Slovakia.
No, what this building, I mean.
Oh, it was a school, Montessori school, and also a bar. Sky Bar.
Not at the same time, I presume.
No.
I was going to say, Montessori's moved on a bit since I was a kid. Well, yeah, it's super impressive. So what's your story then? How did you come to... You're from Honduras, right?
Yes, I am Honduran.
And you've lived abroad and come home, or you've stayed in Honduras?
No, I have stayed in Honduras. I am actually SFL alumni. I don't know if you know Students for Liberty. And, well, Students for Liberty is an organization that brought me to the understanding of what is liberty, freedom, and how can that help a poor country to be better and have better opportunities for the people. So I was part of it when I was in college, and that was the first time that I knew about special economic zones and how do they actually help, and are the freedom concept in practice. So I then researched on special economic zones here in Honduras, and I knew about Prospera Sede, that it was the one that caught my eye. And I applied after I graduated. I applied to Prospera and got a job. So I moved from San Pedro to Roatan.
San Pedro is on the mainland, right?
Yeah, yeah. I used to live there in San Pedro. And I moved to Roatan like 1 year and a half ago. And I started on a outsourcing company in Texas. But then I met Dusan, and he was very passionate about Bitcoin, very passionate about freedom and all of that. And we had a lot in common. And he told me that he wanted someone for this building, like for this project. And I said, well, I am your girl, you know. Like,
I'm not surprised. Yeah. Great job. I mean, it's a great place to work. Can you tell me a bit more about... what you were learning at school about the notions of freedom? What was the what did you say the name of the
Students for Liberty?
Students for Liberty. What is Students for Liberty?
Students for Liberty is the biggest liberty organization, and is more focused for students in college, basically, but I think also students in high school and other places. But basically, they promote liberty in all forms, like economic liberty, social liberty, and politics liberty. And, it's very hard to convince, like, the youth to get into that, because not everyone wants to read and something, like here in Honduras. And especially because our colleges are usually very socialist. But I think that once you start like reading about these concepts and about these people, for example, I really loved Ayn Rand, and I learned about a lot about her and really share actually a lot of her thinking. So
that's a worldwide initiative, is it? That the students for...
Yeah,
it's not just Honduras, right? It's,
no. It started actually in the United States. And
what prompted you initially to look into that? Was that something you were already thinking about? Or?
Well, it was something that maybe I was thinking, but I didn't have the actual concept. But when I knew about this organization in my college, then it made sense. Like, wow, this is the thing that I have always believed in, but now it has a name.
And did they teach you about Bitcoin at the same time?
Well, actually, yes, because libertarianism and Bitcoin are like, you know, like lovers or something like that.
Sure,
because
yeah.
Bitcoin is the freedom money. So I actually, yes, if I wouldn't be part of Students for Liberty, then I wouldn't have known about Bitcoin.
And what's the general perception of Bitcoin, according to you, amongst your peers, let's say, or in Honduras? What do most people think about Bitcoin?
Well, you know, here in Honduras, people get very scammed in Bitcoin and crypto in general, because they don't, like, they're not educated, honestly. Like, they don't know where to buy it, so they get easily scammed by all the things in the internet that, yeah, you're going to win $10,000 if you give me one. It makes sense for them. But I guess that they had a bad concept because of that. And well, you should, for example, my parents, when they knew that I was into Bitcoin, they were saying to me, like, you're gonna get scammed and that's a lie and a lot of things. But I think that, that's why we are here for. Like, I mean, TH Academy is here to educate people. And that's our goal. Like, everyone can know about Bitcoin, that is freedom money. And actually, it liberates you from anything that the government can do with your money. Like, that's why we believe so much in it.
And who comes here to learn about Bitcoin then? Do people teach here, or, you know, how does it work?
Yeah, we started the academies Wednesday and Saturdays. Wednesday are at 4 to 6 and 9, and Saturdays 9 to 11 a.m. So basically we teach about Bitcoin in four lessons, and it's 2 hours every lesson. So people can come here and they can either pay for the whole academy, that is very cheap, like $50, or you can pay for a lesson, that is $15.
And what kind of people come? Is it youngsters? Do you get old people coming?
Yeah, old people. And also we have like a lot of people from Prosper actually coming, because we have already built a community. And well, since this is something that Prospera will also adapt, people want to know what is it and how is the best way to use it.
So, I mean, it's worth mentioning, we are currently on the side of Prospera, right? We're within Prospera. And how is this part of Prospera connected to where we've come from, which the Beta building? And is there an actual land connection to there from here?
I think that you can, well, in Pristine, there's a lot of land that are part of Prospera jurisdiction. And it's like a whole, like, if you are willing to, you're owner of a land and you're willing to be part of Prospera Sede, then you can be part of it.
Right. And do you live here yourself?
No, I don't live here yet.
Where do you live close by?
Yeah, I live close by.
But I presume you would like to live here.
Yes, of course. Like, that's the goal. Actually, in Prospera, they are building apartments, and I have already signed a contract. So I'm waiting on them to build it so I can go and live there.
Do you have friends and family who wonder what you're doing, or do they understand?
Well, not all of them. I really do my best to educate, like, at least the people that are close to me. For example, my parents, when they knew that I was into Bitcoin, you know, as I told you, they were saying that I was going to get scammed and it was not a stable job and blah, blah, blah. But honestly, it's like make them think that this is actually the future. Like, I am working for the future, and I think Bitcoin is future. So that's why I'm building like my career on it.
And what about the idea of free cities and it like Prospera? Do your parents understand that?
Yeah, they understand it now. But at first, I really had to explain it to that, because here in Honduras, there's too much people against it for some reason. And it's so hard because I think the main reason is that they associate the Prospera and other special economic zones with the last government, that it was like very corrupt and all of that. So since the CEDES were approved on that period, they're associated to that. And even we had the last president, Juan Orlando Hernández, they said that Prospera would protect him when he was going to get into jail. And it was obviously not true. He's in there in New York. So yeah, people get a lot of these conspiracy theories, but it's honestly like, I talk about my experience. Like, I think that's the best way of coming into people, like talking on your personal experience. Like, for me, Prospera has been very helpful because I wouldn't never get a job like this. And also, I would never have the same opportunities of growing the same way I have it here.
So, according to you, then, you think Bitcoin and free cities are intricately connected, or can is Bitcoin an important aspect of a free city for you?
Yeah, I think it is, because as I told you, for me, Bitcoin is freedom money, and Bitcoin should be part of free cities, because you should be allowed of choosing the money that you want.
In the same way that Azete allows you to choose the governance model, I suppose, of how you want to live. Is that what you mean?
Yes, yes. Like you should be able to choose.
So going back to the students we have that you have coming here, you said a lot of them come from Prosper itself.
Yeah.
They're residents of Prosper, aren't they?
Yes, yes. Like employees or...
Employees and residents. And how do people receive the idea of Bitcoin? I mean, I've been a Bitcoiner for many years, and I know you really have to put in 10,000 hours to really understand what the hell's going on. So how do you teach people, you know, in four lessons, to appreciate what it is? Or are you just teaching them how to use it, how to set up a wallet, how to, you know?
Well, it's basically an introduction. Like, the first lesson is history of money and what is Bitcoin, like very basic. And then we start on wallets and blockchain and mining. So it's a little bit of everything, but I think it's a little bit of an introduction of everything, because of course you wouldn't learn all about Bitcoin in 8 hours. Like, of course you wouldn't. So it's like, just we're giving you this so you can keep on reading by yourself, but now you know, like, at least when you are reading or you are watching videos about Bitcoin, you don't have like a depersonalized experience, because you want to ask questions like, but I have this question, so I guess I will comment on this video or something. But here you have a person that will answer all your questions. And our rule is, no question is dumb. Like, there's no dumb questions.
Good rule. I like that rule. Have you been to El Salvador? It's not very close to here. Yourself?
I haven't yet, but I am planning on going next year.
The reason I ask is because they have now their own educational programs there. I'm wondering, are you in contact with them? Is that something, or are you, who invented, or who came up with your own particular educational program here?
Well, it was Dušan. He was the creator of it, and he made the curriculum of like introduction of Bitcoin, basically. But no, we are not in contact with them, because we want to be like more independent, and also we want to focus on Roatan. Like, our mission is become the Caribbean island of Bitcoin. Basically,
another Bitcoin island.
Yes,
we see so many now in these last few years, so many new nodes, what I would call nodes, appearing around the world. But what do you call Roatan then? It can't be Bitcoin Island. There's a Bitcoin Island in the Philippines, isn't there?
Yes.
What do you call Roatan then?
It's the Caribbean island of Bitcoin.
Right, the Caribbean island of Bitcoin. That's a new one to me.
Yes,
that's phenomenal. So, I mean, for you then, personally, what do you see how describe the Caribbean island of Bitcoin then in the future? What does that mean? What is it?
Well, it's an island where every business accepts Bitcoin, and people know about it and are educated about it. And it's a perfect world where no one gets scammed.
Okay, so how is the number of merchants accepting Bitcoin? I see we've just bought coffees here with Bitcoin. How is the rest of the island with regards to that, in your experience?
Yeah, we have 30 businesses that are already onboarded with Bitcoin, and they accept it as a form of payment.
And what I noticed when we paid with Bitcoin here, you're using a software app that I'd never heard of before. Can you explain which one that is?
Yeah, the software app is Tianqi.
Tianqi.
Tianqi, yes.
T-I-A-N-K-I.
Tianqi lets you pay on Bitcoin, and honestly, like, we have there all our products on coffee and also merch. So it works really well. I think that the reason we started using it, it was because it was a friend of Dushan, but it has worked really well.
And it's a point of sale system.
Yes.
That's not an iPad. Is that an iPad?
Okay.
And so when you approach the other businesses, the 30 other businesses on mm-hmm. Raritan, are they small, big, large hotel, small businesses? What are they?
Well, one of them is Verandas, that is here in Pristine Bay.
What's that?
Verandas is one resort.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very like luxury resort. But we also have, all kind of businesses, like restaurants, even like a taco stand in West End. We have a tattoo business, mostly restaurants, honestly, mostly restaurants.
And it's part of your job here to go door to door and knock on people's doors?
Yeah. Also, the scuba shop here in Pristine Bay, they accept Bitcoin, and also they have like one point of diving that they have called the Satoshi's Grave.
Satoshi's Grave?
Yes.
Why is that?
I don't know. It was like their, I don't know, like marketing.
All right, fair enough. So what's your personal strategy for orange pilling businesses then?
Well, honestly, people here are very receptive on that, because since we live on a like very touristy island, our point of sale is telling them, like, you know, there's a lot of foreigners coming here, and we want to give them the option of paying in the best way they want, like giving them the liberty of paying. If they have Bitcoin, they can do it. And basically that, like, we try to emphasize a lot in there's a lot of tourists coming and they have Bitcoin. So, yeah.
Have you noticed any Bitcoin tourism here yet? I mean, how long has the center been here, for example? Or how long have you been here?
Like 2 months.
Oh, 2 months, mm-hmm. Right. So obviously there's no uptick yet. I mean, I'm thinking of obviously El Salvador and seeing how, I mean, we've all been there. I took my family there for like 6 weeks and we spent all our money there in Bitcoin. You know, it really has worked for
yes.
El Salvador, and it's palpable when you go there, you know.
It has increased a lot of tourism, yes.
And how, so I suppose it's too early to say here then so far.
Yeah, I think it's too early, but that's the goal, you know. And actually, we will have like official opening, because right now we don't consider like we are like official opened. We're doing like some tests, like not receiving so many people in the academy. But the official opening will be November 19th. And you're totally invited, by the way.
I would love to come. That's 9 days away, isn't it? I'm actually going to be in El Salvador, funny enough. We're going to El Salvador from here because of the Adopting Bitcoin conference. Mm-hmm. And then I'm staying on to interview people like yourself, but in El Salvador. But wow, that would be perfect. So what are you doing for that? What's going to happen here on your opening night?
Well, that same day, we will have a Bitcoin Hill Run. That is a charity event that we are trying to raise $3,000 in Satoshis to give to three selected schools in Roatan, that they have like different kind of needs. So it's to for a better quality of education. And we will have that event the same day. It starts at 5:30 a.m. because it's a run. And then that same day at 7 p.m., we will have the official opening here at the center, like a cocktail party. And also, we will bring all the donations to the principals of those schools in that same night.
And are they invited here, the principals?
Yeah.
So is the notion of Bitcoin education at all attractive to a school teacher? Like these guys, do they understand Bitcoin, or is it something that they might?
Also, one of the things that we want to work on is educating schools. So that's why we are building these alliances with schools in Roatan, so they can allow us to go, because obviously we don't want to force it. I know that there are some parents that may be not so happy that we are teaching Bitcoin. I don't know why, but you know, there's all kind of people. So we want to basically form these alliances with a lot of schools in Roatan, maybe all of schools in Roatan, and ask them if they want us to give workshops for those schools, because it's important that kids understand Bitcoin since they are small. And also for that, we have actually a book that is for kids that is about Bitcoin. And we have it in Spanish and in English. And we have donated these books to one of the schools in French Harbor.
Uh-huh. I've asked this to a few people that we've met here. I'm interested to know what your answer is. For you, what is Prospera? What is it? Like, if you... Someone from the mainland in Honduras, you meet them in the street and they ask you, what is Prospera? How do you answer?
Well, Prospera is a platform that is here to, it's a platform that receives capital from investors, and it's very friendly, with corporate friendly, and it is bringing investors and giving jobs to Honduras. Actually, 90% of the jobs are for Honduran people. And I think that is a platform of opportunities, actually, for Honduras.
And what I find interesting is everyone I ask, that's normally the answer. I'm saying that it's a platform. I assumed Prospera, people would consider it as a place. But it's not. The place is, Prospera is the model, the governance model under which, okay, what do you call, where the beta center is then, would you call that Prospera though?
Like where the Bitcoin center is?
No, the beta.
The beta building. No, that's a building of employees. I wouldn't call it Prospera, because I think that Prospera will be a city. Maybe it already is a city, but I think that, for example, as I told you, they need to build these apartments and other like services, like a hospital or something like that. Like that's obviously like where it will go. But for now, it's a startup city, and I'm just glad to be part of it since the start, honestly.
So you're very adamant that you want to live here, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got a question for you then, because you're happy that you might, when I think about, Free City, it's being built basically to serve the people and the businesses that come there. Do you mind that you might be spending all your time here, living here, working here? That's a relatively, in this day and age, unusual concept. A lot of people don't tend to do that anymore. And I wonder whether that might be something that, wouldn't you want to go somewhere else? Or what do you think? Have you thought about that at all?
Well, actually, I think that I, for now, like this is what my mindset is now, is that I want to live here and I want to work here. But maybe in 10 years, I will not. So maybe I will be like tired of same places, and this is an island. But for now, I think is very good, because like honestly, I couldn't be tired of this view. So
well, correct. That's certainly, I live where I live in up on top of a hill and back in the UK, but I warn you, you can get tired of lovely views. It does actually happen. I'm not going to say it happens here, because this is one hell of a view. But so where do you see the future of Zetes, let's say, and Honduras in particular? Do you see when you follow the timeline of Free Cities and Zetes into the future, like 25, 30, 40 years or whatever, what do you think it looks like?
Well, I am a firm believer that Prospera will change Honduras. Like, honestly, we have suffered so much for, like, so many governments have hurt us a lot. I think that Prospera is the solution. Like, Prospera will take us out of the poverty. And I see that happening in 40 years, honestly.
So what's your own personal opinion on the notion then that if some places like Prospera get too successful, governments are going to say, right, I want it, it's mine, kind of thing. What's your feeling on that? What mitigates that? What stops that? How do people deal with that? Or maybe you don't even think it's going to happen. Maybe you're confident that the government will see what's going on and it will make them more competitive, really.
Yes, honestly. Well, for example, here in Central America, at least, I think it will be like an effect that other countries will want to also try it. But I think that is better, as you said, like it will be more competence, and people will want to live where is the best benefits and best framework and more freedom. So I think it's like we're still winning.
Is that a new concept for people, like choosing to go where you're treated best? I think it's not something we've done much historically. I think your average person, like, is that something Hondurans even think about?
I don't think it's something that an average Honduran think about. But I think that's like the effect we want to cause. Like when they see that people that are living in Prospera are like being successful and having a good time, they will want to be part of it.
Yeah, well, for sure. So what about the plans for the education program here? Have you got plans beyond the four lessons, introductory lessons? Is there a plan to sort of scale it to be, I don't know, expert level? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's, as I told you, a starting point. But of course, we want to keep working on like some different courses, like we're starting right now. But for example, we were also thinking on doing online courses, because there's a lot of people from outside Honduras that want to get also educated in Bitcoin. And there's people also here in the island that are already like very educated in Bitcoin, and they want like help in other things. For example, if you know a lot about Bitcoin, that's cool, but you might not know how to set up a Trezor. And that is also one of the things that we offer. And also the one-to-one consultations. So we can guide you in everything that you will do Bitcoin, like where to buy it, where's the best option. If you're going to have a lot of Bitcoin, it's better that you protect it better with the Trezor, and we help you set up this Trezor. So it's kind of like, I think, more an advanced level on that.
Probably
area.
Worth mentioning, there will be people listening to this who don't know what a Trezor is. It's a hardware key, hardware wallet for your Bitcoin, a way of self-custodying your Bitcoin, let's say. I just thought I'd better throw that in there. Okay, I've got one last question, and it's a question we ask everyone that we speak to. There's no right or wrong answer.
Okay.
It's a hypothetical question, but I'd like to know what your version of it is. Imagine, if you will, you have a sabbatical of 1 year from your job. During that time, all your bills are paid for. You get to focus on whatever you want. You don't have to worry about money. You're just doing that. What would you do in your year?
I think that I will still educate people on Bitcoin. Like, honestly, I have never had like a better job, because I don't feel like I'm working. Like, I feel like I am helping people to understand it. And I know that Honduras is not a very educated country. So I think that I am on the right path. For me, education has always been like the best thing that you can upgrade a country with good education. So I would educate them on special economic zones and in Bitcoin, because I think that is the best way of spending a year.
Well, I mean, a good answer as well. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
24.
24. So yeah, you've got your whole life ahead of you. But yeah, that's a good sign that you're doing the right thing, I would imagine. We've had all kinds of strange answers to that question, but I think you're the first person that said I will carry on doing exactly what I'm doing. So
yeah, it's just because I feel like it's my dream job and I wouldn't let it go for anything.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on getting your dream job and thanks for talking to us today. So real surprise to see this place, and in a way, I mean, I'm surprised that we haven't really heard about it. But it's, I think it's because you're so young.
Yeah, we are very young. Actually, we're having our opening party.
Sure, yeah.
Next
yeah.
Saturday, yeah, so. Yeah.
But I'm certainly going to tell everyone about this because it's just another place. I've been to a few Bitcoin centers around the world, in Prague, in Nashville, in various, and this is certainly one of the most impressive ones. It's really cool to see. So thanks for talking to us, and good luck with the future.
Thank you so much for having me.